Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. How many of you are praying for someone, maybe a family member or a friend, that they might find Jesus? Wow. That is what this life is all about, is making disciples. That's what our Great Commission is. And, of course, you can't have a disciple until you win a disciple. And so, as we're sitting over here singing about our salvation and all that we are in Christ, my mind just begins to think of folks who need the Lord, and they're everywhere. They really are. And I mentioned to you earlier that I don't know how most preachers are. I just know how I are, okay? I've got to see somebody saved and somebody changed by the power of God on a regular basis, or I just go to pieces. Is there anybody else in here like that, or am I just an old weirdo? And one of the things that really has burdened me about this COVID-19, even with all the online stuff we've been doing and all of that, Luke Barnett, as far as I know, he's the only one that has been saved in this circle of influence. Now, if you've been saved in the last 2 or 3 weeks, please let me know, all right, because we want to get you started right in your life with Christ. But I've been burdened about that, very burdened about it, because that's why we came home. God called us to come home, and Diana and my family, to try to reach Clarksville with the good news of Jesus Christ. And I guess I'm old school, but you still got to get face-to-face with folks. We're doing everything we can online right now. But there's nothing like getting face-to-face with somebody and giving somebody a gospel presentation and then watching them pray to receive Christ. I love O'Brien Rush. I think about that all the time and how Billy was influencing him and impacting him over the years. That's how relationships are so key, aren't they? But I'll tell you how good God is. Last night, my grandson called me. And he'll be 10 years old in November. That's what, isn't that cool how kids tell you how old they're going to be? And old folks tell everybody how old we used to be, you know. But he called me last night and he said, "Granddaddy, on the way home from the baseball game, I was with my daddy and I asked Jesus to come into my heart." And, so we had a great conversation about that. And tonight I'm going down to my old church in Waynesboro to preach revival for them tonight. And we're probably going to baptize my grandson. So God knows what you need when you need it. Amen. All right. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 this morning. And somebody asked me last week, "How long is it going to take you to get through Ephesians?" I said, "Till Jesus comes." This is the greatest book, in my opinion, that's for the church. There's so much practical, great theology for the church. That's the title of the sermon series as we move through this. There's glory in the church, and God gets glory from His people. And so, if you have found Ephesians chapter 2, let's honor God's word by standing one more time. Verse 11. I want to thank Andrew. It's good when the man leading worship will let you sit down every now and then. Amen? These young folks don't understand, but they'll get there. Their knees and their ankles and their hips, all right? Am I preaching to anybody else in here? Thank you for letting us sit from time to time, brother. Anyways, here it is. Time to get started. Amen. I've been running my mouth too much. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Isn't that an amazing thing, how we once were? Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enemy. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Woo, we've said a mouthful already. And may God add his blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his word today. Please be seated. I'm old enough to remember this, but in 1961, the Soviet Union built this huge concrete wall right through the middle of a city called Berlin over in Germany. And that wall divided the city of Berlin and the country of Germany for 28 years. And that wall separated families, governments, separated ideologies, separated friends, loved ones, separated churches. But I don't know if you remember it, but boy, this is one of our finest hours as a nation. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan, in one of the most moving speeches I've ever heard in my lifetime, turned to the Berlin Wall. And you remember what he said? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And the wall came tumbling down. And it was an amazing time. In 1989, the wall finally came tumbling down. Did you know that there used to be a wall of division, a wall of separation between you and God? That's what the scriptures are telling us here this morning. Used to be a wall of division and separation. And Paul's talking about that wall in this passage of scripture. And he describes it as a wall of separation. We couldn't get over it, under it, through it, by it. We did everything we could. But still there was this wall of separation between us and God. But thanks be to the Lord, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he took this wall of separation and caused it to come tumbling down. There's going to be a Baptist shout in here from somebody before we leave, because that wall has come tumbling down. Now, up until this point, Paul, you know, has been talking about spiritual death and the antidote for spiritual death. Paul's been talking about this is spiritual resurrection. Amen? And so, but when we come to verse 11, and it's very significant, there's another problem: spiritual distance. Not social distance, but spiritual distance. Is anybody with me? Y'all with me? Y'all following? Y'all tracking here? All right. And so the whole human race, that's everybody, when we're born, we are born distant from God. We were spiritually far off. We had this, we were separated by this wall of division. So that kind of sets the table for what we're looking at this morning in this tremendous passage of Scripture. And obviously, I've entitled the sermon this morning, "The Wall Came Tumbling Down." I just out of curiosity, how many of y'all remember Ronald Reagan's great speech? Well, y'all do get out. Amen. Okay. If you haven't heard it, you need to get on your, you know, YouTube, and it'll be on there somewhere, I guarantee you. But it was one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard, and it was powerful. And the Russian president heard our president and tore that wall down. And Berlin no longer was divided by that wall. Let's look, first of all, at this wall of division, this wall of separation. And in verses 11 and 12, I kind of got this thought. He's talking about the sinner's alienation. Alienation. The whole human race can really be boiled down into two divisions. You've got Jews and you've got Gentiles and... That's right. Basically, you can boil the whole human race down into those two groups of folks. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Now, to a Jew, Gentiles, you remember, were unclean. To a Jewish person, well, they called do you know what they call Gentiles? Dogs. We were considered as dogs. And because the scripture says they were uncircumcised physically and spiritually. There was great animosity and division between the Jews and the Gentiles. And spiritually speaking, you know, really, the real truth is we were all Gentiles because we were all separated from God. We were all far off or distant from God. We were alienated. What caused this distance and separation? Sin. Very good. And so... look again at verse 11, but I mean, verse 12 is packed with these things that caused alienation. "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ." Paul lists five statements or results of this alienation from God. He says we were Christless. Paul says before that, the scripture says that before we were born again, before we were saved, before we came to faith in Christ, we were without Christ. You didn't have Jesus. And you know, I think Billy mentioned this or somebody, but I've been saved so long, it's hard to remember what life was like without Jesus. That happens to us over time, doesn't it? And we forget what it's like to be without Christ. But there's no in between. Either you're in Christ or you're without Christ. And life, I'm going to tell you, how many of y'all been watching the beautiful sunsets and sunrises the last few days? Okay, y'all are getting out a little bit. Okay. Haven't they been a gorgeous? You know, and who would have thought that a Saharan desert windstorm would come all the way over here and give us some beautiful sunsets and sunrises? But hadn't it been? And so being alienated, being without Christ, is kind of like the sky without a sunset. It's like a singer without a song. It's like a bell without a ringer. It's like a cowboy without a horse. Are y'all with me? Just think back to how it was when you were without Christ. We were Christless. And then Paul says we were homeless. Look again at verse 12. He says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, the term alien literally means being homeless. We don't know what it's like to really be homeless, do we? Aren't you thankful for that? How many of you have ever met or talked to someone that's homeless? Tough conversation, isn't it? I mean, it'll just break your heart. But being homeless is awful. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have a home to go home to every evening? It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But really, for those of us who were without Christ at that point in time in our life, we were alienated. We had no home, and we didn't even know it. Have y'all ever watched all these, you know, these refugee camps around the world that, you know, for whatever reason, people get displaced, and you have these people groups that are alienated. They're homeless, and they're living in these tents and days. It's terrible to be homeless. Well, that was our spiritual state before we were in Christ. We were homeless. And then he says we were friendless. Look again at verse 12. Y'all, isn't it? I mean, goodness, are we ever going to get to the good stuff this morning? Yeah, we're going to. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, that word stranger means to be without friends. Strangers, without friends. The nation of Israel, as the children of God, were the recipients of God's blessings and God's promises. They're Egyptian gods. They were so far off from God before they came to faith in God, they couldn't claim the blessings and the promises of God. Just think right now about the promises and the blessings that Paul's been talking about to us here today that are ours for those who are in Christ. How blessed we are. Have any of y'all ever sat down lately and just started counting your blessings, writing them down? I mean, can you imagine where we would be? Oh, to be a friend of God. To be a friend of God. Because as a friend of God, we now inherit everything that's His. We're co-heirs with Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What does He own? Everything. And we're co-heirs with Him. Oh, hallelujah. We are friends with God. So we were once Christless. We were homeless. We were friendless. And it gets worse. We were hopeless. Look again at verse 12. He said, with having no hope, no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Amen. Have you ever wondered, Donna or somebody was, we were talking here a few weeks ago about funeral services. And somebody, I think it was maybe Donna, she asked, she said, can you imagine what it would be like to go through a funeral service and be lost? I've done a bunch of funerals for folks who had no hope. Think about that. And I love what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 1:1 says that God is hope. He is our hope. You know, the Egyptian gods had no value and worth, and yet the Israelites brought a lot of those Egyptian gods out of Egypt. God had a harder time getting Egypt out of Israel than getting Israel out of Egypt. Oh, my goodness. Those gods of this world cannot bring hope. Only Christ can. So they were hopeless, and then we were godless. Look at the latter part of verse 12. And without God in the world. Now, Paul's not talking about atheists here. He's talking simply saying that when we were far off from God, we were without God. We were godless. You were at the mercy of this world and didn't even really realize it. And folks, to die without God is to spend an eternity without God. You know what we call that? Hell. You talk about folks who have no hope, folks who die in their sin, who do not die in Christ. They are without hope for all of eternity. And that's why what we were singing about this morning, what we're preaching about this morning, people in Clarksville that are outside of Christ, they're far off. They've got this wall of separation, wall of division. They are separated from God, and they are without hope. They don't even know it, and they're without hope. We have got to get the message that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? Are y'all awake this morning? We may just, Peggy, have to get back to serving coffee again. I don't know. We 8 o'clock, I guess, on Sunday mornings early. So that's the sinner's alienation. That's the bad news. Are you ready for the good news? Let's look at the Savior's reconciliation. Look again at verse 13. But now, I told y'all, I've got to put together a message on the word but. Every time you run across this word but, something good's happening most of the time. Something very significant. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, what's the key? What is the antidote? What is the cure for alienation? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. For those who are far off, they need to be brought near. And the word reconciliation, listen to me, means to bring two opposing parties together. It's a beautiful word. It's a wonderful thing. You know, some of you have had a marriage reconciliation. It's a wonderful thing to see two opposing parties come back together. It's an amazing thing to watch a mother and a daughter reconcile. It's an amazing thing to watch a son and a father reconcile. And that's what Christ did for us. He took the hand of an outraged heaven and a rebellious world and brought the two together. He reconciled us to God. We used to know a little something about this word reconcile. Shan, you remember when you had to reconcile your bank statement every month? Poor old Shan still has to do that for Second Mile Church. And since we started the online giving, it's been really tough to reconcile. He's usually off a couple of pennies for some reason. But, you know, anybody in here ever had to reconcile a bank statement? Well, that's what Christ did for us. He reconciled two parties that were in opposition to one another and brought them together and made the peace. Well, how did he do that? Well, look at the substance of reconciliation there. Did you see the latter part of verse 13? They were brought near by the what? Blood of Christ Jesus. This is the substance of reconciliation. Now, the blood of Jesus makes everything possible. It is the blood that gives us strength from day to day. And it's nothing but the blood that what? Yes, that washes away all our sin. I mean, it's about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. We've got to keep preaching about the blood, singing about the blood. We've got to keep sharing the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that reconciles an outraged heaven and a rebellious world. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Now, Christ has eliminated our alienation. We're no longer far off. We're no longer alienated. We've been reconciled, brought together to Christ. There was a little girl standing there with her mama, and she asked her mother, she said, "Mommy, what's in your heart?" You know, children ask the strangest questions, don't they? "Mommy, what's in your heart?" And the mama said, "Look into my eyes and you can see what's in my heart." And so the little girl stood up on this stool and looked into her mama's eyes, and she saw her own reflection in her mother's pupils. And she said, "Mommy, I see what's in your heart. It's me." The amazing thing to me is that the Lord would take a sinner like myself and get me on his heart and then send his son to shed his blood for my sin. Hallelujah. The substance of reconciliation is the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his precious blood for us. And when God looks at you now, it's as if you never sinned. You've been justified by God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Get the coffee going next Sunday, all right? Have mercy. Verse 14 through 18 talks about the strategy of reconciliation. Man, look at this. For he himself is our peace. I better say it again. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. The word peace means to join together. Sin separated us from God, and Jesus joined us together. But he not only made the peace, he is the peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says that he is the what? The Prince of Peace. Colossians 1:20 says that Christ made peace through the blood of his Son. This wall of separation that Paul's talking about, every Jew would have understood that, because in their temple, their tabernacle, you had all of these 5-foot walls in that place. There were walls or barriers in the temple. For instance, you've heard us over the last few weeks talk about the outer court of the Gentiles. Well, there was a 5-foot wall on the backside of the court of the Gentiles, because the Gentiles couldn't go back in where the Jewish people were. So there's a wall of separation there. And then there was even a room for Jewish men and Jewish women. And guess what? There was a wall in the middle of that room separating the men from the women. How many of you have ever been to one of those old churches and the front of the church has a door here for the men to go in, and the other door over here has a door for the women to go in? Y'all have not seen that? There's one back here. All right. There's two over here. Okay. And there's another one in here somewhere. Y'all all need to get out a little bit more and see what I'm talking about. But we've always had these walls of separation. And then, of course, in the temple, there was another wall where only that was set up in there where only the priest could go into that room. And then there's another wall there where only one priest, the high priest, could go into that room. There's a wall there. That room was called the what? The Holy of Holies. And so you've got this wall of separation. And Jesus died on the cross that wall of separation might come tumbling down, so that we could be made one in Christ. I got to talking to Casey last night, my little grandson. And you know, kids, y'all have so much faith. They can believe in just about anything or anyone. They've got tremendous faith. But what they have to have an understanding of is that they're separated from God. And that separation is sin. And I asked Casey, I said, Casey, I'm so grateful that you received Christ today on the way home, and that you asked him and invited him to come into your heart. And by the way, y'all, that is scriptural. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, having believed in his name. And so if you ever hear somebody say, well, you know, that's unscriptural to invite Jesus into your heart, that's wrong. That's wrong. And so he told me, I said, why did you need to invite Jesus into your heart? And he was silent for a little while. And he said, because I needed to be saved. And I said, well, what did you need to be saved from? And I'm getting towards the real problem. And he said, I'm not sure, Granddaddy. He said, what are you talking about? I said, your daddy's got a problem. And he gave that problem to you. And your granddaddy's got this problem. As a matter of fact, everybody's got this problem. And then Casey said, oh, you're talking about sin, aren't you? I said, do you know what sin is? And he named off a list of things, you know. And I said, our sins separated us from God. That's why you need Jesus. Do you believe that you're a sinner? He said, yeah. We don't like to think about it. But this wall of separation, this wall of sin was between us and holy God. And Jesus came, shed his perfect blood for each one of us, for all of our sins, and so that that wall might be brought down. And then he brought the two parties in opposition together, making the peace, because he is our peace. Y'all, that's good preaching. That's good Bible stuff. He is our peace. Thank God for peace. Amen. And so look now at verse 15 and 16. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is, he the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now watch this. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, because Jesus came, you don't just have Jews and Gentiles, you've got Christians. Now there's three folks running around, three groups: Jews, Gentiles, and Christians. And now there's one, you know, and so who's the new man that he's talking about here? He's talking about believers. He's talking about Christians. And anyone who comes to Christ is a new man or a new woman, a new creation, if you will. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so if you are in Christ, you are brand spanking new. You're a new creation. You're one of God. As we talked about last week, you're one of God's poems, God's workmanship, God's masterpiece. Look at your neighbor and tell them, whoever you're sitting by, tell somebody, man, you a piece of work. And since, let me say this. Since Christ has broken down this wall of separation and made us one. If you're in Christ, he has made all of us one. This is one family here, right? And no matter what label somebody may slap on you, if you have repented of your sin and trusted Christ, if you've turned from your sin and received what Christ did for you by calling on his name, you are my brother, you're my sister. And bless God, I don't care what your skin color looks like. I mean, you know, what really burdens, one of the things that really burdens me about all this stuff that's going on, the most prejudiced, segregated hour of the week is 11 o'clock on Sunday. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in God's sight. And we ought to come together and celebrate. Just a little something to think about. Guess who the minority is going to be when we get to heaven? Caucasian people. We're going to be in the minority. But it's okay, because we're all going to be one body. We're going to be one family. I'm preaching good stuff here to you. It's going to be okay. I really need to say that. We're going to be okay. But let's put to bed all this prejudice and racism and all this junk and celebrate what we have in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't agree with everything that's going on, but I want to tell you what, if you're a born-again child of God, you're different, you're a believer, and you're my brother, you're my sister, and I can join hands with that. Can't you? Somebody give a shout to the Lord. God has reconciled us together. Now, Jesus has made the peace. And we're to preach peace. You know, the Bible says we're not to be stirring up trouble. We're to be men and women of peace. We're to help make the peace. Does that make sense? We've got a message of peace that the world our nation needs to hear this message of peace today. Man, we're in turmoil. We are in division. We've got so much junk and mess going on. I don't care what topic you want to talk about, we're in a mess. And the reason we're in a mess is because we've walked away from God. And if we would, Well, that's another sermon for another time. But do you see that word access? Do you see that word access there in verse 18? You know what that word means? It means to be ushered into royalty. That's the kind of access you have as a believer, to be ushered into royalty. There's a little fella standing. Y'all know where Buckingham Palace is, right? There's a little boy standing outside of Buckingham Palace, and his name was Willie, and he wanted to see the king. So he's standing out there, and he's wanting to see the king, so he finally grabs one of those guards, and he says, "I want to go in and see the king." And he said, the guard told him, he said, "What's your name, son?" He said, "Willie." He said, "Willie, I can't let you go in and see the king." He said, "Can't anybody just waltz right in and talk to the king and see the king?" And Willie started crying and sobbing, big crocodile tears. And all of a sudden, this other little boy came along, and he said, "What's the matter?" And this little boy just happened to be the Prince of Wales. And he took little Willie by the hand and took him right by the guards and up into the palace and down the hall and into the king's quarters. And he said, "Father, this is Willie, and he wants to see you." "Willie, this is the king." We were separated from God. And Jesus came and took us by the hand, but he didn't stop in the outer court. He took us right into the Holy of Holies and said, "Father, this is one of ours, and he wants to meet the king." And now we have access anytime we want to be ushered in to the presence of the King of Kings. We can walk, that ought to make us walk out of here this morning on cloud nine, because that wall, you see, has come tumbling down. We have access to the King of Kings. We can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime we want to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Aren't you thankful that Jesus broke that wall of separation down so that we're no longer far off and distant from God? We're no longer strangers and we're no longer friendless. We're no longer Christless. We're no longer people without no hope. We're no longer without God. We owe Jesus Christ our lives. And we can sit down and talk with the King anytime we want to. Father, I don't even begin to understand all this, but I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart this morning. I'm so grateful, God, for what your Son has done for us. We now have access to the King of Kings, to the Lord of glory. And God, I don't know what the needs are in this room today, but you do. And some of us are struggling. Some of us are so concerned. Some of us are walking in doubt and fear. Some of us have huge decisions to make. Some of us are here, Lord, and we've wandered away from God a little bit. You've brought us back here today to express to us just exactly what you've done for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses from all sin. Thank you for his love for us. And I don't know who needs prayer. I don't know who needs what today, but you do, Father. And I pray that during this time of invitation, this time of response, God, that we'll get our hearts right with you. Your scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We love you, Father. You do what you need to do during this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.